Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Good morning to you, Tommy Tiernan.
How are you?
It's good to talk to you. It's nearly... You see, you're laughing already. We haven't even said anything.
I had some rough dreams last night, Ryan.
Give us a flavour.
Well, myself and Ronan Keating were signing on the dole.
There's a psychiatrist somewhere rubbing his hands with Lee.
It was either the dole or it was a Garda station and we were on probation, the pair of us.
But
I've a lot of time for Ronan now, but yeah, he was in the dreams last night, so God bless him.
Well, will I trade you one for one?
Please.
Mine one was sitting here at my desk and I'd stride through the window. Adam Clayton was insisting on producing the programme. And then he rocked into the studio and started giving a full interview, quite a comprehensive one, about God knows what. But it was very good. And I must say, he was very insightful. What is that? Is that a Sunday thing? Or
it's hard to know.
How has your summer been so far? I mean, we're hurtling towards the end of June.
Yeah, where have I been? I spent a fortnight over in London doing some shows. I did the Burris Festival of Ideas in County Carlow, which was great. It was great. Myself and Kevin Barry were up chatting for an hour about haunted landscapes and language and Limerick and Sligo. That was
lovely.
Good fun. I did one of the improvised shows in the Burris Town Hall the night before, which is good.
That said, a no material sort of show, is it?
Well, no material until it's materialising.
Yes, of course.
So no preparation.
Yeah, and how did that go?
It was great, yeah. It's great to be able to do stuff like that in front of farmers and nurses and hackney cab drivers, and for them to get it, that it's not an arty jazz club thing, that everybody can get it. So no, it was brilliant. I really enjoyed it.
Because when you did that the last time, as per the documentary, you were around Europe and there was sort of like, what is he doing? He's scaring us. Why is he shouting at us? I want to go home, Gunther.
That's it, yeah. What's real? If it's a any man that can put the wind up the Germans is to be treasured.
I'm surprised the Greek Prime Minister hasn't been on to you.
There's time yet, can you imagine? That's it. Just what Greece needs. Tommy Tiernan improvised no material to her.
Mr. Draghi, we have our secret weapon.
That's it.
The Tiernanator. Get in there. That's possibly something weird. But obviously the response from the Europeans versus the farmers where you were was completely different. And what was it, warmer, more real?
No, it's just that I'm getting better at it, I think. That the European tour was, it was too much pressure on myself. I tried to do 12 in a row, in 12 consecutive nights in 12 different countries. So I find that the way for them to work is to do them once a week. So that the head can fill up.
Yeah.
I did one actually. Today's Monday. I think Friday with a band in Galway called My Fellow Sponges.
Yeah.
So they were backing me. They were improvising, and I was improvising as well. And that was great crack. So no, I'm committed to it. I think it's a wonderful in the moment aliveness that I much prefer to kind of repetition.
Yeah, that is to say your material rather than the
well even just that you bring an air of improvisation to the shows.
Yeah,
that even though you might be telling stories that you've been honing over the past while, you know, that there's still an air of aliveness and mischief flowing through it. So no, I'm very committed to the whole notion of spontaneity and kind of in the moment creation. I love it.
Do you ever get a little, I don't think bored is a fair way of saying it, does it come a point where you're touring a show, stories and so on, where you think, oh yeah, I have to go ahead and do this, tell that story again. Does that ever cross your mind, or are you?
Yeah, it does. But in order to make it a valuable experience for you and the audience, there has to be an element of risk and an element of joy and recklessness and spontaneity. Mm. So it's... it's about making, and to me, genuinely, doesn't matter where the show is, Sydney Opera House or Burris Community Centre, the commitment to the audience is the same. And I would probably prefer the smaller ones, to be honest. Sydney, we did the Sydney Opera House last year, and it was fine, and it's, you know, 4,000 Irish people at it, and it was, you know, emotional. But it's a big old room for talking, you know. And I would prefer, I get a better experience out of the smaller rooms around the country.
I can imagine. I mean, intimacy in the Sydney Opera House is probably not the order of the day.
No, it's not what it was designed for.
No. Well, what about that word you used, emotional, for that gig?
That was because to be on the far side of the world, in such an iconic building that is... We did two sold-out shows on the one night. And I think just the emotion... I'm one of those people who I'm so identifiably Irish. I'm sure there are others as well. I'm sure Damien Dempsey gets it. I'm sure, you know, Christy Moore would get it. There are people, Shane McGowan, there are people in the culture who are just, they're thoroughbred Irish. So when we work abroad, there's an extra element of, there's an extra kind of hurrah in the room.
Yeah.
And just the roar of Irishness when I walked out. Same happened in Perth. There was 2,500 people at the show in Perth, and I'm peeking out through the curtains before the show starts, and there's Leitrim jerseys and Sligo jerseys. You know, jerseys you wouldn't see in Ireland during the summer at all, unless you know you were diligently following the championship.
Yeah,
and it's just emotional. So you gotta, you know, I cried a tiny bit on stage in the Opera House, and I had to kind of, you know, turn my back for a moment and gird myself and gather my energies and plough on, you know, and it was huge.
What prompted that moment?
I think it was just the roar.
Yeah.
The roar of exiles. You know, people on the far side of the world from Manor Hamilton, Cork, Tubbercurry, Burris, you know, and you feel their pride at being Irish. You feel their delight at seeing you. And you kind of realise you have so much in common with them, and you're both on the other side of the planet. So it was that's what charged that, I'd say.
Are you tinged with a bit of sadness that so many of them have to be there, maybe?
I don't think so. They're having awful crack.
You think they're just there for the laugh?
They're having awful crack, Ryan. I got a lift with this Indian taxi driver in Perth. What is going on with you Irish? You're going mental. So what's happening is there's young fellas. And what they're doing, they're working 3 weeks in the mines, 500 miles above Perth. They're coming back to Perth, drink, drugs, hoors and music for a week. And then
back to the mines.
Then back to the mines. So they're having awful crack over there, yeah. Ryan. And they're young and entitled to it.
Good. Because there is that, you know, because for a long time during the recession, was there was a lot of talk. I kind of look at where, you know, there's the brain drain and we're turning our backs on our young. And yet I remember talking to my own brothers and the point that they were making was a bit like what you were saying, which was actually, you know, a lot of these people are going because they're young and they want sunshine. And as you say, women and drink, and they want to have the crack.
Yeah. And the... Who I do feel sad for is, I was doing, are the people who are separated from their families, mammies and daddies who have to go harsalia to work and are sending money home. I met this fella in the airport in Edmonton who was doing construction work over there, and he was flying home to meet his 6-week-old daughter.
Ah.
And that stuff like that now would sadden you, and you'd lament at that. And you feel for people like that. You feel for people who are leaving, you know, Ireland on a Monday morning and not flying home again till Friday night. You know, I feel their pain, and I think that's an awful situation to be in. But the young people are up to high dough, as they say in Mayo. They're having good fun, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if do you talk to them about that, your theory about where the types of people go and who goes to Canada and who goes to London. That's one of the funniest things I've heard for a long time. Yahoos that end up in Australia, you know.
That's it, you'd be slagging them, you know. You have to.
The picture of the jersey, I mean, that's big numbers, 4,000 there, 2,000 there. I mean, they obviously love what you do, but also the Irishness thing, that connection.
They're just delighted to see each other and to gather around an intrinsically Irish event, which would be like a Tommy Tiernan show, or if, you know, Damon Dempsey or Shane McGowan, that type of the Saw Doctors, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's stuff that's so identifiably... You too wouldn't get it now.
They wouldn't even be in the penny place. You know, and yet we go from there, right, to, where is it, Wednesday, you're going to be in Inishbofin, community centre. I mean, like, that's just another planet.
I love it.
Beautiful place.
I love it. I do, every second year now, I do a tour of the islands. And so we start on Boffin on Wednesday and then Clare Island on Thursday. Then the following week, we do the Cork Islands. They'd be the posh islands now.
Of course.
Baltimore and Shirk, you know. There'd be more yachts than Curraghs down there.
There'll be jumpers over the shoulders and more gin, less Guinness.
That's it. And but a great place to do shows as well, you know, up for Divilment, and then the three Aran Islands then the week after that. So it's an awful privilege, I mean, to be spending the guts of 3 weeks traipsing out across the Atlantic on a fine day to the islands is a privilege, yeah.
Yeah, I can only imagine that. Can we talk about the new show then on 2FM?
Please do,
The Tommy Tiernan Show, broadcast live on 2FM between 1 and 2 p.m., obviously, on the 4th, 11th, 18th and 25th of July. What is it?
So it's the four Saturdays in July, and I have a good guide to these things, to any creative venture, especially in comedy, is if when you think of it, it makes you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I have an idea for a TV show called Things to Do in the Rain. And it's just, do you know these kind of tornado hunters that you get in the States? just two fellas in a Ford Fiesta driving around and looking for rain.
Right.
And what they might do in it. And the different types of rain. So,
Because there's a wet rain. You know, that's not the house of rain. It's not that wet.
As a fella said to me, there was a day like that in Galway about 2 weeks ago. He says, Tom, the sun is sweating today, boy. So, an idea like that makes me laugh. The rain men traveling around the country. So that might, you know, I've yet to pitch that to somebody, but show.
Yes.
I've always had notions of being funny in conversation. I really enjoy that, you know. And I had this idea for doing a chat show. I'd be a big fan of people like yourself, like David Letterman, who I think is just so genial and easygoing on his thing. And I thought to myself, okay, remember the old Late Late Show, and they'd never tell you who the guests were before they came out, you know, stuff like that. And I started laughing to myself when I thinking, well, how about if the host didn't know who the guests were either?
I love it. Yeah, brilliant.
And I was travelling around England at the time, and I remember I was lying in bed in Hull.
God help us, where all great ideas are born.
To Hull and back.
I've been to Hull and back. Yeah. So there you are, sitting in Hull.
Laughing at the notion of the host not knowing who the guests were until they came out and having to strike up a 15 or 20 minute conversation. So I pitched it to RTE and they said, absolutely, let's do it. Now, for me, the real important thing there is the fact that it's in front of a live studio audience. That would...
That would play into your...
My comic inclinations would kick in then, I hope. So that's what we're doing. So it starts next Saturday in the Sugar Club. I have no idea who's going to be on. And
worst plug ever.
Worst plug ever.
We've come to our show. We have no idea who the guests will be. Absolutely. At the same time, I suppose it makes introducing them easy. My next guest has no introduction.
Well, I'd be sitting in the chair and a voiceover will come on. Ladies and gentlemen, your first guest is, and then after that...
That's great.
So do you have any advice for me, Ryan? How might I...
Well, you're asking the wrong man.
Come on now.
I learned a great piece of advice, which was last summer, which was, it was given from one chat show guy to another, talk show as they call them in America, back in the 60s, which was a guy called Jack Parr. I was talking to Dick Cavett, who would be one of my favourites. You should look at a couple of YouTube interviews of Dick Cavett talking to the likes of Norman Mailer and Gore Vidal and stuff. There's pretty good stuff, like real old. This is now where you had your tumbler of whiskey and a cigarette, you know, proper chat show. And
you can do that in the radio, you know.
I'm telling you. What do you think I'm smoking now? So they were, and he said, "Look, don't be like that Frost fella, just listing off the question." He said, "Stop interviewing people, have a conversation." And that's something that I learned a lot from in the last year, because that's what it is. Just talk, shoot the breeze if you can. Now some people are dental appointments, and you'll be pulling their teeth, and they'll still be looking at you, going, "What else have you got for me?"
But the thing with this. Type of chat show is that it'd be very hard for somebody who's got something to sell to come on my show, because I would have no prep about it. So say when someone goes on The Late Late, you're all prepped, his movie is out, it's with Jennifer Aniston. Don't ask him about children.
Don't ask him about any Ralph Harris records he bought.
Don't mention
anyone who worked in BBC television between 1976 and 1989.
But he's mad to talk about the Prussians.
He's dying to talk. His biggest influence is Otto von Bismarck. Make that interesting for Saturday Friday night.
Yeah. So there'd be none of that with me.
Yeah, he's made a film about Bismarck and his affair with a Russian Tsarina. Go.
There you go.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah. So there'd be none
of that of mine. It'll all be... whatever information is in your head about that person,
before you
meet them. So
I like
I'm
the sound
it'll
of that.
Be fun.
Yeah, I think it. I like the sound of that. When the breaks are cut, oftentimes it's the best TV or radio.
There you go.
When it's less, I suppose sometimes you can prep to death and prep the fun out of something. Yep. So have you any guests that you'd like to see on the programme? I mean, is there anyone that you think I'd love to shoot the breeze for 15, 20 minutes? You know. A cappella, as it were.
Not really. I the two public ones I did, like with Kevin Barry, and I did a few with Michael Harding. I loved those. Now they were great cracks. So, but I'm up for chatting to anybody. Really, I don't have any.
No guest or no wish list in that sense.
I don't think so. I'm trying to, off the top of my head now, there's nobody that I'd like to talk to.
Do you have any? Well, you're really quids in there again with that one. and then you have they come on and you've got all you have is, as you say, in your head. So there he is. So there she is. Good luck with that.
Yeah, whatever preformed prejudice exists is what you'll be. That's the thin ice you'll be skating on. So it's just chat. So out to come. It might be, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your first guest. And it'll be Ryan Tubridy. It might be you. I don't know. The producer.
Yeah.
Therese Kelly, a brilliant radio producer.
Yes.
Her job was to go out and get all the guests and just not let me know. And, you know, I have no idea. Could be anybody.
It's happening in the Sugar Club on Leeson Street. This Saturday is the first one, July 4th, at 1 p.m. So we're giving away a pair of tickets to this Saturday show in Leeson Street. It's going to be a sellout, I've no doubt. So it's just text 51552 for a chance to win those tickets. If you want to secure and get your name on the guest list and in the show and all that, just it's an email to tommy@rte.ie. That's tommy@rte.ie. Poor old Tommy Gorman's nerves will be gone when he sees that coming. But tommy@rte.ie. We'll get you there if you want to sit in the audience and have a little bit of fun. So, yeah, you sound very relaxed about this challenge, and I can understand why, because it's a fun challenge as these things go.
You can't prepare for it.
Yeah.
So it's like being told you're in the Olympics, but haven't been told what sport.
Go.
So you arrive with your pole vault, your javelin, your swimming togs, and your hammer.
and your drug test.
And you've been told you're doing the show jumping.
Yeah.
So there's no way of preparing, so I'll try not to.
It's good to talk to you as always, Tommy. Thanks a million. I can't wish you enough luck with that program.
Thank you.
I'll be listening.
So much.
Best of luck.